In the name of Jesus, our Advent King. Amen. At the close of this academic day, we will have completed the first week of the winter term. It seems like just yesterday we were all on vacation. Wasn't it great being the son of the congregation returning home from the seminary? Alive with the enthusiasm that we got from finishing the recent term, we went home. Wasn't it great? Wasn't it great when we were asked to preach, to read the readings, to be the liturgist? And who among us can deny the good one feels when, having been asked to preach, someone comes up to us afterwards and shares with us, "Oh, if this is any indication of your future as a pastor, you're on the right track." The congregation who has sent money to support us sees us and feels that their money has been put to good use. We are doing okay. All the fine preaching, all the fine reading, all the good we do, the encouragement we receive, and in the middle of it all, here comes John the Baptist, the voice of one calling in the desert, the voice wearing camel's hair, a leather belt, and munching on a few roasted locusts. This is a far cry from the encouragement and praise we received back home. I doubt many people spoke to us about John. I doubt many people spoke to us about humility. I doubt many people spoke to us about oratio, meditatio, or tentatio. But wasn't it great? Do you remember how good it felt to turn in that final exam, to pass the qualifier, to turn in that last paper and see the rearview mirror show the fading of Concordia Seminary as we left? Remember? Remember what it was like returning last week. Last week to new syllabi, a new stack of books needing to be read, and we've been here a whole week and we're already behind. We're looking forward to the next vacation, and here comes John. We finished up an academic term. We finished a church year. We began a new church year. We began a new academic term. We look forward to the coming of Christ, and here comes John. John's visit with us today brings us encouragement. After all, reading our text and noting John's appearance helps me to appreciate even more the resellit shop and the food bank, where we've at least been upgraded to polyester and two choices of vegetables this month. Maybe attending Concordia Seminary isn't nearly as bad as being the voice of one calling in the desert. But I believe our text today has more to share with us and John's message deeper than simply a comment about fashion or diet. Today we come face to face with a brother, an older brother, if you will, one who comes to help us focus our attention, the voice of John the Baptist who carried the message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The people of the whole Judean countryside came out to see this John. They came out to the place where he was preaching. They came out to hear him preach, to repent, and to be baptized. Or did they come out to see the hometown boy? Did they come out to hear one of their own and to marvel at his work? I doubt it. Rather, they came out and saw a man wearing humble clothes, a man eating humble food. A man whose appearance would seem to indicate that he were more of a hermit than someone who would draw a crowd. The clothes that John wore were not to adorn him for people to come and worship. John was dressed for service. And the people came out not to hear John, but to hear his message. And we are human, and our humanness craves the accolades of others, and we do go home and we enjoy hearing those words that give us encouragement, that give us hope, that help us keep our heads up. But there's a difference between the preparation we do to carry the message versus the opportunity to impress the brother next to us or to wow the students and to become the favorite prof on campus. We come desiring a noble task, but it's not our desire that makes the task noble. And sometimes it's simply hard to study here at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. There are other schools that are probably slightly easier than attending here. You can probably get a master's degree with fewer than 119 hours and a full-year vicarage. And it's sometimes during those times that we struggle, we get very little hope or encouragement simply by thinking that this process is all necessary. It's a process through which we will be refined, that the dross will be burned off, that we will be shaped and molded to become pastors. Rather, it's during times like this that we think that 2 weeks hardly seems sufficient time to recover from last term, let alone be prepared for another term. We look forward to vicarage placement, call day, and even just a little more time off. And we get tired, and we find ourselves being the voice of one crying in the desert, but our message is, come, Lord Jesus, come. And we stand there, and we wonder, is there any hope? And John brings us that message of hope as well. John was not talking about you. He was not talking about me when he talked about a greater one whose sandals he was not worthy to untie. John's voice called out and prepared the way for the Lord, the powerful one, the one more powerful than John, more powerful than you, more powerful than me, more powerful than all of us together, Jesus, the one who came to seek and to save the lost. The one whose own message was that of forgiveness, of life, and of hope. The message of Jesus to all sinners is of forgiveness. Yes, for sinners who need hope like you and like me, for this hope does not come from ourselves. Every day when we walk into the chapel, we pass by the font. The entrance to this chapel we come in marked with the sign of baptism, the day on which God did his work on us. And he brings us in here again and again to hear his message and to hear of his love and his forgiveness. And it appears at this stage of our progress and our training that it is God's will that one day we will administer that sacrament. But it's when people come to hear his message, his love, and to hear of his forgiveness. It is him. But just in case we don't have an opportunity to enter here as often as we need to or as often as we like, his word is not limited to this room. Keep your eyes open. His word is all around us. Every day we loyally parade over to Loeber Hall, where we receive coffee, where we receive our mail. We buy books, have time of fellowship, and eat our lunch. And on the bulletin board, entering Loeber Hall, are the words of Psalm 37:5. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. These words of encouragement on our way are fortified with the blessing of people in our lives, the professor that takes extra time with us when we just don't understand, the student who sits alongside us and studies for a final exam, and maybe even just the secretaries who at times understand us better than anyone else, who come amongst us as God's word feeds and nourishes us through all of our opportunities here. Last month, Charlton Heston visited St. Louis and gave a lecture at St. Louis University. It was interesting to hear about how he prepared to appear in Ben-Hur. After 6 weeks of rigorous training to ride in a chariot, he turned to his coach and said, I'm ready to ride alone. I don't know what to do with 8 chariots all at the same time. Mr. Heston's coach turned to him and said, Chuck, you're going to win the race. Just stay in the chariot. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God has come to us. He has won the race. It's over with. And he comes to us daily with his message of forgiveness for his people. All praise, eternal Son, who through his advent brought us salvation. The Father and the Holy Spirit we adore forevermore. Amen.